Sadly, the human family won't be getting together in the usual way this Christmas. As a dark season claims another holiday, another set of liturgical plans, another set of travel itineraries, I can't help but wonder if we were really getting together before the pandemic. I mean, let's be real with one another, or at least darkly satirical for each other for a moment. Our human family was deeply dysfunctional well before the pandemic showed up. Imagine our human family getting together for Christmas. After all, don't all feel good Christmas movies and maybe sermons begin with a description of a dysfunctional family? First, there are the parts of the human family in open warfare with one another, who would be caught dead darkening our door for Christmas dinner, because that's precisely what they'd be if they showed up, dead or dinner or both. Then there's the two often unspoken divide between the branches of color and the branches for whom Christmas has always been, well, white. You wouldn't think the divisions of race and gender and sexuality and class and politics in our society would infiltrate the sanctity of a family, but they do. And on Christmas, too. Families, even the great human family, all have their own divisions, hiding in the very labels of loving relationship. In-laws, outlaws, nuclear family, extended family, greatest generation, lost generation, favored daughters, prodigal sons, and so on. The better off side of the human family might manage to congregate this Christmas, sure, but because they can always get the time off work. They can have the gift exchange and selectively break the agreed upon spending limit, while the rest of us spend Christmas Eve convincing ourselves as we hand a demanding customer his change that this is indeed a side gig and not our foreseeable future. Perhaps it's for the best that some of our relatives are working on Christmas Eve. No one has to explain to their kids how Santa visits a family that doesn't have a chimney. And that's just the structural dysfunction. Then you get to the individual family members themselves in all their glorious inhumanity, their own violence, cruelty, and sin. There's a guilty sigh of relief, but it's a sigh of relief that we won't be seeing all of our relatives this year. No holier-than-thou killjoys criticizing our parenting. No black holes of bourgeois insecurity dead set on one-upping us. No newly minted liberal crusaders who might actually be right about a lot, but thankfully are such insufferable self-righteous hypocrites that you can safely dismiss them from the comfort of a mug of spiked eggnog. No conspiracy theory peddling guardians of the golden days when life was simpler. Yes, the world was simpler in those days because you were six, uncle. Everyone, everything is simpler when you're six. Of course you didn't see color growing up. Your TV was black and white. I don't care that you've moved to Parler. I blocked you on Facebook long ago. And yes, we might both learn something from a conversation, but I just find it so much more pleasant to drink my eggnog in peace and silently insist that I'm right than try to prove it to you otherwise on behalf of those suffering less from your tirades and related voting habits than my silence about them. And we can all breathe easier that that branch of the family won't be coming around. We all know who I mean. The pile of bad choices on top of mistakes, on top of misfortune, on top of forces beyond their control, and dumb bad luck that can't stop gambling with bad hands amid worse odds, but can't seem to back away from the table and leave the great casino that's killing them slowly either. I mean, I'm trying to listen to Mariah Carey at Christmas, and all I can hear is Sarah McLachlan when they show up. I try to stay at least 6 feet from them. Bad luck is contagious, you know. And there's just no vaccine for that. And when we're done with the lights and the shopping and the cooking and the Christmas cocktails, because baby, it's cold inside a dead, darkened soul, we finally dig out the nativity to remind ourselves what a family is supposed to look like, because the family photos aren't going to do it this year. We look at the pandemic and we say, how did this happen? How can this be? Look at us, says the prophet. How could it ever be otherwise? Mary's question to Gabriel this morning is so full of meaning, so haunting in its yearning. How can this be? She asks. Her literal words are, how will this be? I wonder how she said it. Was it confused, fearful, wistful, hopeful? Or was it possible for Mother Mild Mary to be angry? Her words vitriolic with a too modern irony. I imagine her. What? Pregnant? How exactly? Did your angelic parents opt you out of that day in health class, or were you just absent? How can you make a family out of this? I just got engaged, and you propose to make a family out of this. This, with me, here. I'm what, maybe 14? I'm a woman in Nazareth, under Roman occupation. You're gonna make us a family. How's that gonna go? How can this be? And the angel replies with a straight face, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And something about the way the angel speaks is enough to break through the bitterness of a young woman, the heartache of a people, and the splintered hopes of a human family, if only for a moment. And so we too must be angels in this Christmas season. We too must look at a world where it's easy to be a Scrooge, a Grinch, or worse, and declare instead the impossible. Do not be afraid. God loves you. This Christmas, you will hold the very word of God in your heart. And that word's name is Jesus. And with him, miracle of miracles, we will be a family again. God intends the renewal of the entire human family, beginning with the birth of a child, our brother, Jesus. See, God reestablishes and renews the human family in this particular holy family. David, the great king of Israel, gets an idea to make a house for God, and God confounds his hubris and says, "No, I will make you a house, a royal line of redemptive healing for not only Israel, but the entire face of the earth." This secret known to David and shared in the kingdom of Israel in fits and starts is brought to the Gentiles, to those outside Israel. "See," God says, "I am doing a new thing." And that new thing renews heaven and earth in this particular family. But having been members of families, dysfunctional families, difficult families, dysfunctional churches, difficult churches, dysfunctional and difficult nations and human families, we push against that. We've been burned one too many times. We came to our parents, we came to our siblings, we came to church, we came to humanity, and we were disappointed. We looked for those reversals that Mary saw, and with them magnified her soul. We see the proud, and they're not scattered, they're stronger than ever. We see the mighty quite comfortable in their thrones. The lowly are still low, the hungry are still hungry, and the rich get richer. We've been burned, and we are tired. How can this be? Because the family I know, the family I've experienced, looks nothing like the one you're saying is possible. And so we have to find a strange strength. We have to take the risk of being the first to accept the risk We come to our families, we come to churches, we come to our nation, we come to the human family with expectations, and they are disappointed because we keep looking to others to provide those things without accepting the risk of being that thing for someone else first. I remember being stuck in so many discussions in seminary, in so many discussions in chaplaincy. And you would sit there and you would talk around a great theological issue, and everyone would offer their opinions and their concerns and their complaints. And until finally someone would take it upon themselves to cut through all of that and be the first to say something real. In a discussion of chaplaincy, we were all supposed to talk about where we came from and why we were at this and what we were planning to do. And it took one woman confessing a deep, dark family secret that called all of us back to what was really important, to what we were all supposed to really be thinking about. We have to find the courage in us to be producers as much as we consume. Others are coming to these churches, to these nations, to this human family of ours with the same set of disappointed expectations as us. Can we be the first to put aside what we expect to fulfill something for someone else? Can we push past our own bitterness to be sweetness for someone else? That's the question for Mary. And something about what the angel says makes her willing to do that. The renewal of our family comes when we decide to be the family we were hoping to find. In a world of war, we respond with the gentleness and the ministry we were hoping to find. We respond to the divisions of the world with forgiveness and reconciliation. We preach a prosperity gospel where more than resentment is shared. We look at the world of violence and cruelty and sin, and we carry into it a cross. Not because we weaponize it in holier-than-thou self-righteousness, but because we offer it to others as another family member, bitter in pain and in need of God. There, but by the grace of God go I, is not a spell cast to keep failure from becoming contagious, but good news we bring to those people that need it the most. My brothers and sisters, and you are my brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. God loves you. This Christmas, you will hold the very word of God in your heart, and that word has a name. It is Jesus. And with him, miracle of miracles, we will be a family again. The human family will not be getting together in the usual way this Christmas, and that is all to the good. Because we all know that the usual way of getting together had its flaws and its lies. Beginning with our families, beginning then to our churches, and finally to the entire human family, we will get together in increasingly revolutionary and unusual ways at Christmas. And the world is going to tell you, peace, joy, faith, hope, love. Have you seen our families? How can this be? And we angels, we bearers of the word made flesh, will reply, with God, how could it be otherwise?